Good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Again, another day to gather into God's house to worship together. I was thinking, too, of the passage of time. Roman, you mentioned being at a funeral yesterday. We received word last evening my grandmother passed away, Arlene Weaver. She was in her upper 80s and was in poor health for quite a while, but she has moved on to her reward, and each of us are headed that direction. But till then, God has called us to tarry on, to live here, to worship Him, to follow Him, and live lives that bring glory and honor to Him. I was assigned a message a few weeks ago at the Blue Ridge Congregation, and that's the message that I intend to bring here this morning. The title that I was assigned is a quote out of Romans 12, verse 9. You can turn to Romans 12. Title is, "Let love be without dissimulation." Let love be without dissimulation. What do we mean by dissimulation? That's a word that we don't use regularly. I think that's a word that is not in our, at least is not in my normal vocabulary, something that I talk about on a regular basis. And we'll look at that, but maybe even before we look at that, I want to think a little bit about the word love. Today, the world has given a definition to love that is a cheap love. I looked up the word love in the dictionary. And it says, an intense feeling of deep affection. An intense feeling of deep affection. And notice it's described as a feeling. And I think that is what the world has made love out to be. What happens when feelings go away? Does that mean that love has went away? And we want to look at love this morning in a deeper sense. There's several words used in the New Testament that are translated love. The Greek word agape is the one that we are thinking about this morning, the word that is used here in Romans 12. It is the selfless love, a love that is empty of self, a love that is not selfish, not thinking of its own self, but instead a selfless love. Agape love, a selfless love that seeks the good of the other person, even to the point of giving of our own lives. To illustrate that, or to just think with me of John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God gave his Son, and we know that the Father and the Son are one. So God gave of himself to mankind who had turned their back on God, a selfless love that was giving even when there was nothing coming back in return. That's the type of love we want to talk about this morning. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation, and here again I went to the dictionary and got a definition. Definition is concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, or character. Pretense. So I believe Paul was exhorting the Romans to have a love that was without pretense, that was without hypocrisy, that was true, that was wholehearted. It was a love that was sincere. And I believe that's what God wants for us today. Primarily, we'll be thinking about love and the brotherhood this morning. You can apply it to family life. You can apply it to home life and other areas where you relate to people. But I think as we look at these verses, we're going to look at what Paul was talking about here, this love that flows between brothers and sisters in a congregation, something that is a love that is without dissimulation, without pretense, without hypocrisy, something that is true and sincere. Thinking about that this morning, we're going to read Romans 12. I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this chapter. I'm going to look for a little bit of interaction with you. I am going to read the first 8 verses, and then you can read verse 9, I'll read verse 10, and we'll just continue to the end of the chapter, every other verse, you starting with verse 9. I'll read the first 8 verses, and then we'll start in that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for your participation in reading the word, and trust as we look at these verses, they can be an inspiration for us to think about how we can have a love that is pure, without pretense, something that is true. Starting out and looking in the first few verses of this chapter, my first couple points I have titled Prerequisites for Love, some things that need to be in place before we can have love that is without dissimulation. As I said, the world has defined love as a feeling, something that is reciprocal, and you need two parties to make it work. But we're called to a deeper love, something that is a love that comes from God. He is the source of love. So there is some prerequisites, some things that need to be in place before we can have that love. In verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, it's talking here about the great gift that God has given to us and how we are indebted to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're called to give back to God, to be transformed. And so the first thing that needs to happen is we need to have a new birth experience. We need to be born again. We need to be transformed. Transformed as the idea of being changed from a total change, not just a outward conformed, not conformed, but transformed, changed from within. If we expect to portray love to our brethren, we need to first of all be changed. We need to have a true, sincere relationship with God, something that is heart-changing. If we're not transformed, we'll find ourselves caught in a trap of trying to fake our love for our brother. And that's dissimulation. That's a love that is not sincere. The first and the utmost of utmost importance is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without that, we will not have true, sincere love for others. The second thought under the things that need to be in place. In verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." To have love without dissimulation, we need to have a proper view of self. It says here we need to think soberly. I believe we need to have humility, looking at our own life, our own self in true perspective of where we are, what God has done for us. But then in relating to others, to have humility, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And I thought of soberly, I think it also would have with it of not having too demeaning of a view of self, having a balanced view of who God has called us to be. Sometimes he calls us to step out of our comfort zone, to do some things that he has called us to think soberly, to have a balanced and a true view, proper view of self is important. It's something that needs to be in place so that we can have this love without dissimulation. Then verses 4 through 8 talk about the brotherhood relationships, and the church is likened to a body. We could turn to other passages that talk about this. It talks about how, you know, each part of the body is needed, each part is necessary, and if one is missing, the rest of the members suffer because of that. Each part of our human body is necessary for us to function the way God designed. Yes, people can heal from injuries, missing limbs, and can still lead a profitable life, but there's something missing. And God intended for each member, each person of the body, to be needed, to be a part of that body. Love in the brotherhood is necessary if we're going to work together like that. If we're going to have a loving relationship, we need to have that love to be able to work together. Verse 5 says, "We are members one of another." Each member is necessary. Each member is necessary to function as a full body. Do we see our brothers and sisters as necessary parts of the body of Christ? I trust we do. We also need to recognize that gifts differ. In verses 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us," and then talks about prophecy and ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, "he that ruleth, he that showeth mercy." There's different gifts that God has given to the church, and we need to recognize that. We need to see and understand that if we're going to have love without dissimulation. I believe this comes out in different personalities, different backgrounds, ways that we've been taught, ways that we have learned. And they can each be a blessing to the congregation. We need to recognize and understand we've each been given a different set of gifts. And if everyone was the same as me or everyone was the same as you, it would become a rather mundane or boring place. But with each different gift, it can be a brotherhood that relates together, and we can each help each other along. Let's look for ways to bless others for the contributions they make in church life, for the difference they make. Instead of criticizing or becoming envious, jealous of their gifts, let's look for ways to thank them, to bless them, and be thankful that there's others that can take up the work where we're not gifted or blessed with the gift that we in that area. Having different gifts and personalities will make us see and react to situations differently. And part of love without dissimulation is knowing how to relate to that. Do we immediately become suspicious, or do we give room for a different view or a different perspective on a situation? Love without dissimulation. We need to work together. Second thought, or the second main point I have, is why is love without dissimulation necessary? Why do we need this love without dissimulation? Why a sincere, true love? Well, you can turn back with me to Matthew chapter 22. My first point under this one is love for God and love for our fellow man is interconnected. So we're talking primarily about love and the brotherhood this morning. And this point goes closely with my first point under the prerequisites of love. Matthew 22, I'm going to read verses 36 to 40. This is the lawyer that came to Jesus with a question tempting him. And he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love for God and love for our fellow man is interconnected. So we need to have this love for our brothers because of our love for God. You can't take one of these commandments and let the other. Jesus said on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can't say I'm only going to have love for God, or you can't say I'm only going to have love for my brothers. It needs to work together. We need to have this relationship with God that needs to be established, like I said in the previous point. But we also need this love for our brothers to reinforce, to hold up the love for God, to show those two are connected. You can turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, I'm going to read verses 11 and then verse 20. And think about this thought, that we need to have love for God and our fellow man are very interconnected. 1 John 4, verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And then verse 20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Love for God and love for our fellow man is interconnected. And God's love needs to be shared. It's not something we can have love for God and then not share it with others. Verse 20 says that if we say that we love God but struggle in our love for our fellow man, we're not being honest. It calls us a liar. Those people are liars that say they love God but can't love their brothers. God's love needs to be shared. If we have His love in our life, it will work itself out in love for the brotherhood, love for a fellow man, love for those around us. Why is love without dissimulation necessary? Our love for our brothers should be like Christ's love for us. In John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We're called to love like Jesus did. Love our brothers in the same way. That's a high calling. Can we love our brothers? He gave his life. He laid down his life for us. And he's asking us to have that same love for our brothers, for our fellow man. Why is love without dissimulation necessary? The last thought on that point, I'm going to read from John 13. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 13, verse 35, says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Love for our brothers is the beacon to the world around us that we're truly his followers. When your neighbors see you, when they see us as a congregation, or think about the group of believers that meets at the Neiman's Chapel, what do they think about? Do they think about love? Somebody, a group of people that has love for each other, or do they think about the stories they hear of the bickering or fighting, the arguments? Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." Love for our brothers is a beacon to the world that we're following Jesus. Love for our brothers is necessary. Well, thinking about love without dissimulation, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to spend some time in this chapter. I don't think we'll take the time to read it. You know this passage. It's a very familiar passage. The teaching on charity. And we know that charity is synonymous with love, it comes from the same Greek word. Taking some thoughts from these verses in 1 Corinthians 13. First thought I have is doing good without love will end in loss. And the first several verses here talk about speaking with tongues of men and angels and not having charity is like a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And gifts of prophecy, and verse 3 says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned." So great sacrifice, great giving without love is worthless. It is of no benefit to the person who is giving it. We need a true and genuine love. It can be helping in huge ways, giving in great ways, but if it's not done in love, it's of no benefit to the giver, to the one who has given. God can take it and use it to expand his kingdom, but the giver that is not motivated by love will be a loser. Let us be motivated by love. The good things we're doing are motivated by a selfish desire or to be seen of men. I think that is the definition of love with dissimulation. We're doing it in pretense, in not a sincere love. It's a twisted, a warped view of self and not a godly love. Remember, true love is selfless. It thinks of others, not of itself. The second thought I'm getting out of 1 Corinthians 13, love is long-suffering and kind. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. What does long-suffering mean? How is that worked out in practical life? Pure, unfeigned love, or love without dissimulation, it will put up with pretty much. Put up with the things that, maybe the small things that just rub us the wrong way. Something that our brother does that can irritate us, true love will look beyond that. Love without dissimulation is long-suffering and kind. And maybe for a little illustration of this, you can think of children in the home. You know how quickly little spats can turn into bigger fights, and before long there's ill will going back and forth, and us as parents are called to teach, to forgive, to move beyond those little mistreatments that happen, to learn to forgive, and also teach children to treat others with respect, to not mistreat or take advantage of another one. We're called to teach that. So it illustrates to me that it's not a natural love. It's something that needs to be taught. It needs to come from God. It's not something that is natural or comes natural to man. True and unfeigned love flows from God, needs to be learned from Him, by those who have been changed. Back to that transformation thought that we looked at in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I think we can apply that to our brotherhood relations too. It's something that needs to flow out of a changed life. Long-suffering and kind. God calls us to love, even when it feels like the other person is not showing the true love of God in return. Long-suffering and kind. Looking past the small things, the inconveniences, the mistreatments that happen. Verses 4 and 5, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and it seeketh not her own. Pulling a few of the phrases out of these verses, love is by definition unselfish. I mentioned that in the definition of true agape love. It's unselfish, something that looks for the good of others. How easy is it for us to become envious and covetous, to find it easy to look at another person and envy what they have, or the gifts they have, the relationships, the things they're involved in, and become envious of that. Maybe we see someone that is a better Sunday school teacher, or they can gift of relating to people better than we do. Can we see that as a blessing, something to be thankful for, rather than allowing that envy to drive a wedge in relationships or to fracture the love we have for our brothers? Charity envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and seeketh not her own. This vaunting or being puffed up gives the idea of having an exalted view. We need humility in relationships. It's an important part of relating together. Humility, as I said before, having a proper view of self, not thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think, but soberly. If we allow envy, pride, seeking of our own, it will lead to dissimulation, fractured, broken relationships, things that will cause this love to be fake or pretentious. Instead, let's have a true, sincere love like we see here in 1 Corinthians 13. A few more phrases that come out of these verses. It is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. What does it mean that love is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil? What about the times when there's offenses that come? And maybe they seem intentional. Maybe it seems like they definitely were done intentionally. Do we get provoked? Do we think evil? Can we respond in true love, a true love that wants the best for that person? Maybe it's not always easy to relate redemptively. Maybe sometimes there's going to be some hard conversations we need to have to challenge our brother, to relate in a redemptive way. Remember to relate redemptively. Sometimes the easy temptation or the easiest thing is to avoid the conflict, to just turn away from it, to act like nothing happened. But isn't that a fake love? Isn't that dissimulation? Sometimes when something does happen, we need to respond Christ-like, remember to respond Christ-like, but need to go and talk, need to go and work out the relationships, the things that have happened. Love, though, is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. It doesn't jump to conclusions. It doesn't make a conclusion about a matter without first finding out what happened. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. True agape love rejoice when truth is held forth, not when there is untruth or rumors, gossip that's going around, but it wants truth. It wants a true, honest look at what the other person is, who they are, look at them for who they are, and honor them for who they are. True love is without dissimulation, without pretense. It will not pretend. It will not somehow have dishonesty mixed with it, but it will be true. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, rejoiceth in the truth." Verse 7 says, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." True love, true and unfeigned love, will inspire and bring hope and clarity. A true love is committed to working together. I think brothers will be committed to working together in a brotherhood. Look for ways to support each other, bear each other's burdens. Work together even when there's differing views, differing opinions, working together. Love without dissimulation will not be two-faced. It will not say one thing to a person and another thing behind their back. Love without dissimulation refuses to be hypocritical, will not put on a form of love in their presence, but then make it clear that we despise them to others. Remember that gossip destroys. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Remember that love without dissimulation will not be pretentious. It will not say one thing to one person and another to another person. I'm now going to turn back to Romans 12, to our text passage, for a few more thoughts out of these verses that you helped to read when we read the passage, last part of the chapter. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Our title, our thought, what we're looking at: abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Giving that thought again of truth and honesty and wanting what is true. Verse 10, unfeigned love is brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Putting others ahead of ourselves. That selfless love that looks for to bless others. Again, it does away with the competition, the desire to come out on top, to somehow be sure that we're the one that gets the advantage in a relationship. True brotherly love seeks to help each one along in the brotherhood, to see each one successful, to see each one growing. Verse 11, are we putting our all into what we're doing? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And it mentions business, it mentions serving the Lord. Are we committed to whatever we're doing? I think serving the Lord gives the idea of our whole life surrounding the commitment to following Him, to faithfully serving, fulfilling our responsibilities, providing for our families. It enables us to share this love with others around us, helping our brother in need, giving a warm meal or a warm place. Verse 13, distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. As we are faithfully doing what God has called us to do, we're able to reach out to others and bless others. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. How do we be of the same mind one toward another? We have a congregation here with many different thoughts, views, and I had to think of our brothers meeting a few weeks ago when we sat together and talked about things, and we went around the circle and each had a time of sharing And you could come away from that and say, well, maybe we're not all of the same mind. We have different thoughts. But I believe what we did there was that thing of being of the same mind. We share together. We hear opposite or opposing viewpoints. It helps us to then understand where our brother is, understand why he's thinking what he's saying, and understand. And at the end of the meeting, I think we were closer together than we were before we started the meeting. And that's working together, being of the same mind one toward another. Being willing to reach out to those who are not, maybe not as, it talks there about condescend to men of low estate. Include everyone. Let's not have little groups or cliques that relate to those that think identically to them only, but let's interact with all. Interact with those who are maybe have a different view than we do on a situation. Learn from them. Strive to include everyone. Remember, we need the input of our brother, even those that have a different view than us. We need their pruning and shaping in our lives. Let's not be afraid of that, but rather embrace that. Reach out to those around us. And true brotherly love and true unpretentious love, love that is unfeigned, love that is looking for the good in the other person. Verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Honesty in all we do, all of life, whether it's home life, church life, business life, let's have honesty. Verse 18, strive for peace. Remember that there are many around us who are watching, and they're saying, do those folks love Jesus? Do they have the love of God in their life? And then verses 19 to the end of the chapter. If we have love in the brotherhood, if we have true love without dissimulation, it's going to reach out to those around us, and it's going to trickle into our relationships with our neighbors, with our enemies, as it talks about in these verses. That true love will be shown with those around us. When we're mistreated, someone takes advantage of us, we will be able to respond in love. I believe that will show others the true love of God and will pull others, draw others to Him. In conclusion, God intended for us as His followers to portray His love to the world around us. He wants us to show that love to others without His people here as a witness. I believe there's a lot of people that never think about God. They don't read His Bible, read the Bible regularly. They maybe don't go to church. God wants His love to flow out from us in our relationships. True love, not pretentious, not some sham love we put on and try to make things look good. It needs to be a change that comes from a heart that's changed by God, something that we then share and show to our fellow brothers, those who we relate to, those we work with. And we can be a witness to those around us. I trust that it can be an encouragement for us as we think about love without dissimulation, that we'll have a true, honest, sincere love each day as we go